Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we'll be in Acts chapter 4, where the disciples can't stop, won't stop. The first day, I was preaching to students during the lunch hour on their high school campus. The dean caught me and told me if I ever set foot there again, I'd be hauled away in a police car. So, getting back to my office, I got on my knees and prayed. God, I'll go to jail for those kids, but I'd rather not have a criminal record. So if you want me to keep reaching these kids with the gospel, please either tell me to stop, prevent me from being seen there, or make me really good at playing harmonica. In this chapter, the apostles had to dance to the tune of Can't Stop, Won't Stop when it came to preaching Jesus. It was about to get them into a heap of deep trouble with the religious teachers. But what about you? Would you preach the gospel if it meant that you'd go to jail? Would you have that kind of courage? What if it was in the shadow of someone recently, someone you knew, being executed because of their preaching? That was the situation for the apostles when their preaching started to cause a stir in Jerusalem not long after Jesus had been crucified himself for preaching the gospel. Let's jump into verse 1 to see what the apostles did when confronted with their worst fears. The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, so the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. Okay, one night in jail, that's not too serious. Being locked up in the clinker overnight is marginally passable before you're considered a felon. But the apostles couldn't stop. Not when their preaching had now caused 5,000 men, not counting the women and children, to believe. Verse 5. The next day, the rulers, the elders, and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas the high priest was there, and so was Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and others of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what name did you do this? What would you answer here? If your chief concern was for your safety, you might say something like, please, sir, it was a mistake. I plead temporary insanity. We won't do it again. I promise I've learned my lesson. But more than the concern for their own skin was the concern for the souls of others. Verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who is lame, or are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel. It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Boom! What a mic drop. You killed Jesus. God raised him from the dead. You religious teachers might think I'm on the wrong side of the law, but you are on the wrong side of God. Oh, just wow. Put yourself in the shoes of these religious leaders. What a problem they've got on their hands. I mean, what do you do when all of your pomp and authority doesn't scare the people you're trying to warn, and somehow they're able to do miracles? Verse 13. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. I just have to stop there for a second. This verse has been very personal to me over the years. The man who led me to Jesus pulled this verse out of the blue one day and said, "No matter what people say about you, Peyton, for being a Christian, the best compliment they can ever pay you was to say that they took note that you had been with Jesus." Then he asked me, "Peyton, do you think other people can see that in you?" Listener, I'll ask you the same. Do people take note that we've been with Jesus? Can they tell? And if they can, there's not much they can do to stand against it, like the religious teachers here. In fact, in verse 14, we're told there's nothing they could say. they were speechless. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin and then conferred together. "What are we going to do with these men?" they asked. "Everyone living in Jerusalem knows that they have performed a notable sign, and we can't deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn them to speak no longer to anyone in this name." Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to listen to him? You be the judges of that. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we've seen and heard." After further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened. For the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. What a dilemma for these religious teachers. What to do? They couldn't stop the miracles. They couldn't shut the disciples up. And they couldn't stop people from believing as a result. But the apostles still knew that they too were in over their heads. They were being threatened with beatings, imprisonment, and death. Like my story of heading onto the high school campus, none of that sounded good. Like me, they were scared. What to do? So they prayed. Verse 23. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. "Sovereign Lord," they said, "you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why did the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus." After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. The building shook, and at Pentecost, a howling gale, a rushing wind filled the room. But this time, God seems to show his power with the effects of an earthquake. That was different, but what was the same was that they were filled again with the Holy Spirit. It was a top-up and emboldening, and they felt a courage like they'd never felt before as they spoke the word of God boldly. The result? The believers became so sold out for mission that many of them sold their fields and abundance of possessions and gave it towards missions. The worse the persecution got, the more the believers leaned into the mission Jesus had trusted them with, but the religious teachers had forbidden them in. But they were all in, boldly preaching and ready to die so that others could believe. Back to my story. I continued to go onto that high school campus that I told you about for 2 more years. I was 19 when I started, and that dean had actually been my dean in high school. She'd persecuted me when I'd been a student there, and so that was nothing new. But like Luke records here, the Lord added to the number the people being saved. I never again got caught or got seen by that dean on campus. In fact, I even got a little cocky and started parking in the teacher's parking space after a little while. The security guards would wave at me, greet me by name, and I preached the gospel boldly and saw many young souls saved. All because I was in over my head. What to do? I prayed in the face of threats and persecution, but relied on God's power instead of my own courage, and found the boldness to say with the disciples, "Can't stop, won't stop."
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.